You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Falls of greed will never come to feel what you need when It's running like a red disease. Ghetto fever.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah. Ghetto
fever. You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network for podcasting. For live.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Good morning. I'm discombobulated, man. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day, that you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must be done, and you will get it done. And you'll do it safely. And we appreciate you about that, that's for sure. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11, or 9 to 11 and 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And, of course, there's a shortcut. So just go to your web browser and put in babaoshi.net. Baba, B-A-B-A. OSHI.net, BabaOshi.net, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other program we have here from Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. On Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamal Kamban, Dr. Mawia Kamban, and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jumoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Tuesdays, from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. On Wednesdays, 8 to 9 on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. Saturday at 7 p.m., 7 to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council. And then once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Brother, go online to WeBuyBlack.com and support. Especially this month. This is our month. So, do all you can to support us, to support one another. Do all you can. Go to an extra step, an extra length, an extra mile to support one another. Make that happen. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tahemba, who has been taking our people to the motherland, providing them with a trip of a lifetime. And he's going to Senegal and Gambia, April 1st to April 11th. And that's going to be followed by a trip to Ghana, May 24th to June 5th. Then November 17th to the 28th to Tanzania. And then at the close of the year, December 24th to January 5th. To Ghana. You can have your holiday season in Ghana. And the cost is just $3,800. Everything you need is on the website, Africa40Africans.org. Everything you need, all the paperwork, visas, shots, and all the information about what you need to have. But if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. You want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. So give Brother Bomani a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans.org. Habashah Incorporated.org. Habashah Incorporated.org stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. And they have great programs. They have programs here in the Atlanta area. Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. They have the Kashi Project that is ongoing now in Ghana. The buildings are up, all the framework. So, I mean, there's pictures of it, and you can check it out by going to HabashahIncorporated.org. HabashahIncorporated.org. LED program. LED stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Pulling our monies together. LED deals with the four areas of people that are necessary for people activity, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in six different countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Become a member of the LED Group. In fact, if you do become a member, you can buy land in Tanzania, in beautiful Tanzania. Maybe you might buy some land overlooking the Mount Kilimanjaro or the Serengeti for $250 an acre. $250 an acre, you can buy land. Yep. Abibiatumi. Abibiatumi.com, Abibiatumi.com. And the Community University, Abibiatumi. I think Abibiatumi is just outstanding with what they do. Abibiatumi.com, brothers and sisters. Go to Abibiatumi. All right. Segment Pharmacy. Semi-Pharmacy stands for Segment Medicine Awakens Imhotep. That's what the acronym is. Segment Medicine, all natural medicines. Give our good brother Jabril a call, and he can work out a plan. If you have issues, contact him at Segment Pharmacy. He has a schedule for appointments at 731-327-6229. That's 731-327-6229. Or you can contact him on email at Sema Pharmacy, SemaFarmacy, at gmail.com. I repeat, SemaFarmacy at gmail.com. Check them out and go to the website. Okay? Go to the website. Information is there. It's all there for you. All the general health, the best sellers, the health stuff that they have. They have the garden at their home. Please, brothers and sisters, if you do it for your health. I know many times at this time of year people make resolutions. It ain't about a resolution. It's about the changing of your life. All right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located at the West End here in the Atlanta area. Located in the West End. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Located right across the street from the Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. So it's right there in the West End. Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. If you're in the Atlanta area and you're on Georgia Highway 166, get off at Greenbrier and go check my sister out. Off of Campbellton Road at Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, all kinds of good stuff right there at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Give my good brother Gazimde Ajamu a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. There's light in the Black Dot. Afroletics. They used to be at Wadada's and in other places, the brother with Afroletics, but now he has a store. He's permanently set in the new Black Wall Street Market. Used to be a former Target in the Stonecrest area, which is east of even the Black Dot off of Interstate I-20 East. So check him out at the new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. They have their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us, at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10 tomorrow night. You can give a call to listen or to make comments, questions, or concerns by pressing 1. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Or you can go online at blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. Homeland Village. I had Brother BJ on the call this past Monday. You heard from the brother and what he's doing in Macon, Georgia at 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Give him a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop. All kinds of good stuff at the Homeland Village. Believe me, he's got it down. It's happening. It's happening at the Homeland Village. For real. All right. Baba Baruti and Mama Ya, I know they're preparing for a big weekend. They have this Friday, the 14th annual health fair, the Science Health Fair, and Science for Survival. This year, they're talking about obesity, another global pandemic. They're talking about obesity, junk food marketing and advertising, how they advertise to you, the burden of obesity, the dental health care, social environmental determinants of health, the health consequences of racism, obesity barriers to change, biological memory of racism. This is this Friday. This Friday. So please listen closely, brothers and sisters. This Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. As soon as I get off the air, I'm jumping on. From 1 to 4 p.m. Really, in person, it's fantastic. You see these beautiful brothers and sisters, young brothers and sisters from the schools here. From the independent schools, the conscious schools, the African-centered schools here in the Atlanta area. They have this science fair. This is the 14th annual. They've presented some excellent information. They have their little props up and so forth. Just excellent presentations. The Zoom meeting ID. I'll be as slow, and I'm mentioning it a couple of times. The Zoom meeting ID is 721-3831-2587. I'll repeat. 721-3831-2587. And the passcode is 750, the small letter S, the capital letter F, and the capital letter V. 750-SFV. Brothers and sisters, if you have the opportunity to check it out, please check out the Science Fair, the 14th annual Science Fair. These young brothers and sisters and, you know, health fair that they have is outstanding. Science for Survival. Mama Yas, well, let me go to Baba Baruti because he's up first, and then he has the identity. What does it mean to be African? A reconceptualizing framework. Baba Baruti. And that is Saturday, this Saturday, the 5th, from noon to 2 p.m. This Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. And, of course, you can register by the following. Make your $10 or $5 for Warriors in Training via PayPal account, which is yahbaruti@yahoo.com, or Cash App account, which is $YahMBaruti. Please include prayers of gratitude as the title of the program, your name, and the email address that you want the link to go to. That's this Saturday from 12 noon to 2 p.m. And then Mama Yah, Inya Baruti, her presentation is topic is Embracing African Spirituality. And this is the sister circle. So for the brothers, it's Baba Baruti. For the sisters, it's Mama Yah. And that's this Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m., $10 for adults and $5 for the teens. And the same thing applies. Put the following information, Embracing African Spirituality, your name, and the email address that they're going to send the link to. So, brothers and sisters, check out. And, of course, Akabin Institute is the institute that they run. That's been putting our good brothers and sisters as warriors into our community. So please check them out, Akabin Institute. And you can support them by going to Cash App and PayPal as well. And also, too, he's a prolific writer. You can go to akabinhouse.com for the many selections of books that Baba Baruti has. Many selections of books. I guess I'm just going to start doing these at the end because I put them off to the side and I keep forgetting to to make these two announcements. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, contact my good sister Shelly Armanset at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti.org in Haiti. Our sister Gabriela Herrilla has done outstanding work with our students in an educational program, health program, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. Brothers and sisters, see for yourself. Go to Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti, Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. February 1st. The education of our people must have a purpose and a goal if it is to be meaningful and fulfilling. The purpose must be to instill values and develop skills that will aid in meeting the needs of the masses of our people. Our youth must be brought to understand that they are being educated to build for all of our people, so they must prepare themselves to provide for the needs of all of our people. You're not being educated so you can get a job. Educated so you can go beg the Caucasians to hire you and promote you and let you live. And they, no, that's not why you're getting an education. You're getting an education to provide the means by which we as African people can realize independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. That's why. Baba Baruti says, Ptah Hotep, and of course Ptah Hotep lived in the third dynasty, so you can consider that about 5,000 years ago. He's the first book, The Sayings of a Ptah Hotep, just a brilliant man, an advisor. Ptah Hotep taught us that he who teaches speaks to the future. He who teaches speaks to the future. Let us wisely and boldly visualize and create an empowered and sovereign African future for our people. Let us support those centered educational institutions which have truly been loyal to our ancestors, which have clearly and consistently demonstrated a righteous knowledge of who we are naturally, and a dedicated, accountable, uncompromised commitment to this vision. This is a community's work and requires a selfless infusion of the best of the community's resources into these institutions, because those who stand for us in what they teach our future are wholly dependent on the community to survive and thrive in this anti-African insanity. Let us be this community and speak and make our ancestors proud. Ashe. And that's what we're talking about here. That's why I'm telling you I love the Inye Sesim. Man, it hits home, because that's what we're talking about. We're going to talk about Carter G. Woodson. We're going to talk about February, African and American African History Month. That's what we're talking about today. Affirm, I am preparing myself to better equip the children for their nation-building roles and responsibilities, and supporting these institutions, which have this as their foremost priority. Affirm, I am preparing myself to better equip the children for their nation-building roles and the responsibilities, and supporting these institutions, which have this as their foremost priority. February 2nd. Whoever the white race does not consort with, it will crush out. Bishop Henry McNeil Turner. The vicious and unfathomable inhumanity that others have inflicted upon us have continued for more than two millennia. We call this genocidal attempt to savagely rip Africa from our native culture and selves, and entirely remove us as a people from this planet by frightened, power-hungry others, the Ma'afa. This term refers to the entirety of the effort Europeans and others have put into trying to destroy the African continent, African culture, and African people. The Ma'afa includes the unprovoked wars of invasion to conquer the African continent, the missionary efforts from the North and the East to remove us from our spirit, the consciously ignorant undermining of African cultural activities and sensibilities, the brutal and inhumane capture of Africans for the enslavement and the removal of Africans to other lands, the colonization of African political systems, the balkanization of formerly peaceful ethnic groups, and mass theft of Africa's resources, the confiscation of Africa's lands and relegation of Africans to infertile land, the global dehumanization of Africans, the brutalization, rape, torture, and murder of hundreds of millions of Africans, including the prevention of birth of all the descendants those murdered individuals would have produced. It is genocide in progress. Brothers and sisters, it is genocide in progress as I'm speaking. Affirm, I remember. Affirm, I remember. I can never forget. Never. Man, oh man, I hate that. All right, brothers and sisters, that was the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. You know, I really appreciate this opportunity to come, you know, each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Before I go, I want to make a couple of announcements and do something before I get off into the history of us, and particularly of Carter G. Woodson, and how profound and how important he is in our history, the father of our history. I want to make an announcement that my dear friend and brother, who I've traveled the highways and byways with, made his transition, Willie Williams. Ed Willie Williams. We were the first two brothers to work on the Milwaukee Fire Department together. In fact, I always say this, if it wasn't for him and his you know, I probably would not be on the fire department, because if I was by myself, I'd probably have to kick them crackers' ass. I'm just serious. You know, all the little games that they played and so forth. So being with him and others, I really appreciate that, and I'm going to miss him. He was a dear friend, a very good friend. We traveled to many places together across this country, going to regional meetings and conventions of the IABPFF. We loved the IABPFF, the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters. So my good brother Willie Williams is homegoing. He passed yesterday. His homegoing is next week. So another one I want to talk to, in fact, he's on the phone right now. He's on the line right now. It's Brother Research West. Brother Research West, what's happening? How you doing today? Brother.
Oshie, how you be, my brother?
I'm doing well, sir. I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. Yeah, I think I tried to call you and left a message that they convicted. They convicted Brother Theodore. Yeah. And that's not a surprise, of course, you know, in light of how easy it is for Caucasians to claim self-defense. And you see what happened in the Rittenhour case, how that was easily pushed through for self-defense
exactly.
for him, you know. But here, this brother. And see what you got to have literally is a lot of corroborating and visual evidence to prove. You had to have two or three people to say, yes, that's what. Because, see, his wife said he didn't say it. He didn't call him a nigga, and he didn't charge at him, and he didn't do this. He's saying that this man just shot him in cold blood. And, of course, you know, since he didn't have somebody to corroborate his side of the story, you know, he was convicted. I know he's appealing, and let's hope that he can maybe find some way to you know, find something, or somebody saw something, hopefully, because it was it's an area that is trafficked, you know, the Holden Street Bridge in Milwaukee. So, you know, hopefully that may happen. You know, just unfortunate, man, that this brother, and that a lot of times when we claim self-defense, you know, that, you know, it doesn't work for us, especially you don't kill some Caucasian who probably said stupid stuff and maybe visibly came at you because they're especially nowadays, Brother West, they're so emboldened, you know, that see it all the time. They always, you know, trying to challenge somebody. You know, Donald Trump got a lot of Caucasians' ass whooped.
Yep. And see, Osha, I think the first thing is we can't let words get us, man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the main thing is if somebody call you a blankety blank, like my man said, if he would have just said he would be content being a blankety blank, blah, 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 and went on along the way.
Yeah, right.
This shit wouldn't have happened.
Right.
So,
right.
They use that shit to provoke us, to trigger us to do the first shit of swinging on them or shooting. So the main thing is, that case right there, man, I mean, I just look at the ambience and shit, and excuse me, I'm sorry about it, in Milwaukee, man, in Wisconsin. Because, see, Wisconsin, it's a lot of them Germans that left Germany to be where they at in Wisconsin with all that cheese and stuff, man.
That's right, but, and beer. Cheese and beer.
Yes,
you got
sir.
I know.
Yes, right.
I was born there,
right.
So you know I know.
Yeah,
so.
And that cold weather, man.
Yeah, it is cold. Right now, it is really cold. It's less than, I think it's in the teens, and it's about to snow. So,
I think that's the mistake my man went when he hit that fool first in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's when he put hands on him, that's the mistake. And with the self-defense thing, they wanted him to say he pleaded self-defense. But the whole case is jacked up, man. But anyway, there's so many cases and stuff going on, man. Not a case I'm looking at now. I love the court TV, man. It's winter time. I'm chilling. Mm-hmm. Court TV, like the real court TV, not no damn Judge Judy, man. But this case now. Remember that case, April 22nd, 2018, at the Waffle House in Nashville? You remember that?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay, that's the case that's going on now, man.
Okay.
And the devil white boy that did all that, he tried to play it like he's freaking crazy, man. Mm-hmm. Okay, because when they showed the whole video, man, in right. the Whopper House, none but us sitting
right.
up in the Whopper House, man.
Yeah, that,
and the dude was sitting in the parking lot plotting, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a brother became a hero.
The whole video.
A brother became mm-hmm. yeah.
James Shaw Jr.
Brother became a James hero Shaw Jr. for what he did. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So what is the Caucasian claiming innocent by mental defect? He was insane.
Man, they trying to bring up some shit. Yeah, they trying to bring up stuff. Talking about he did go to the White House with Trump was just walked in there. So I'm kind of to believe that. How the hell did he walk right in the White House, man? He might be a damn Manchurian candidate. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know you don't know what that. You might know what that is, a Manchurian
yeah.
candidate.
Yeah, that's a movie. That. Yeah.
For him to walk in the White House, man.
Yeah.
Okay, and this the whole case. I saw the jury makeup. It's four black people. I think it's one black brother,
mm-hmm.
and I think two or three sisters, one Chinese, and the majority of them is white, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, eight of them white or something like that, man.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But I love watching these cases, man. But I got to give a foot in the gluteus maximus for this week. Is my man Barry Gordy and Mickey Stevens is a Motown man, okay? I don't know if you remember a sister singer name. It's Kim Weston. You probably remember
sure,
her because
sure.
she's older
Kim Weston.
Than me, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Kim Weston. She did the Black National Anthem, which you could buy. So if you didn't,
yes, sir.
Which was outstanding, which was sung at mm-hmm. Wattstack, which is one of my favorite documentaries.
Yeah.
So brothers and sisters out there listening, go to YouTube, and you can watch Wattstack. Go to YouTube. I tell you, go to YouTube
Wattstack.
All the time.
Oh,
Wattstack.
Wattstack.
That's when, Memphis had stacked records.
Yeah.
Memphis had stacked
yeah.
records, and Isaac Hayes, and Luther Ingram, and the Barquets,
yeah.
all of them, Rufus Thomas, Carla Thomas,
they went
from Memphis to L.A. to put on a concert,
yes,
to benefit concert
yeah.
after the riots, after the Watts
yes,
riots,
sir.
You know? Whee. So go to Wattstack and listen
yeah.
to Kim Weston's rendition, and which is funny, because check this out very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tell you to stand up for the national anthem. None of us stood.
Mm-hmm.
None of they played that first. She sung that bush, and then she sung mm-hmm. our anthem, and everybody stood up, fist balled up.
Yes,
I loved it, man. Go to Wattstack. It's one of the greatest
yeah.
documentaries produced by us.
Richard
Pryor, Cutaways
hey.
With Richard Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, it's outstanding. Outstanding.
I saw that at the drive-in theater.
Did you? Yeah.
The drive-in movie.
Yeah, right
movie.
On.
But get back to the story, man, about Barry Gordy and Mickey Stevenson, owner of Motown. Okay, they sold their catalog, the whole Motown catalog, because Mickey Stevenson, I guess he had the rights to a lot of them entertainers, to this company called Downtown Music. I don't know the price of what they did, but the point of the matter is, Miss Kim Weston, bro, she ain't got no money. She broke, man. All that money she made for Motown, they won't give her damn quarter.
Yeah.
At least give her a catalog, man.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, talked to her, and her vocal cords are damaged from singing. I ain't telling her that, man.
Uh-huh.
But Barry Gordy and that Mickey Stevenson at least give that lady some money. And Barry Gordy, Stevenson told me on Carl Nelson's show, he promised that they got a retirement fund for entertainment, and he gonna take care of her, and he give her damn one quarter.
Yeah, well.
And a sidebar caveat, that was his ex-wife, man.
Oh, really?
That's a damn.
Oh, that's a damn. Oh man, that's a damn shame.
Yeah, yeah.
Man,
that's double foot in the ass.
Yeah,
he get 2 feet up his ass, man.
Man,
and so that right there, our people dogging each other out,
yeah.
man. That's being Judas's, man.
Yeah.
Okay, and then check this out. When she didn't leave Motown, Barry Gordy prohibited her from making money, man. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He went ahead of her and had to pray them other promoters not to make her no money, man. She'd have had more songs out. The whole damn
She was
thing
beautiful,
shame,
man. She's a beautiful sister.
Yeah,
great
bro,
voice, man.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, but
her rendition of Lift Every Voice and Sing
old,
is classic. It really is. So,
yes,
brothers and sisters, go to YouTube and you can see Kim Weston. This was 1972. you know, and it's a damn shame about what Wes is saying here. It's a damn shame. You know, the greediness of Barry Gordy.
Put their ass on blast, man.
Yeah.
I told that dude, Mickey Stevens, I was going to follow up with him. Okay? Yeah. And he thought I was bullshit, man.
Well, hey,
I'm an empath. I'm an empath, man. I'm an empath. I can't help it, man.
Well, get him.
I hate to see our people getting dogged out.
Yeah, man. I agree.
But I want to commend you, man. I want to give you some flowers, roses while you here, man. You stuck on freeing our people, man. You like a pit bull, bro. I love you for that, man.
Right on, Wes.
I love you for that, man.
Right on, Wes. I'm gonna go. I just have this vehicle here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and I try my best to impart this information. You know, it's not my opinion. It's not my opinion, because my opinion is deeply profane. I would be cussing my ass off. Yeah. I'd be cussing.
I bring the facts, man.
But it is based upon the scholarly research of our people, our scholars, our historians, and I'm about to highlight one right now who I deeply admire and have a lot of respect for. So, yeah.
Oh, one more thing I want to tell you about our people, man. You know the Stonecrest Mall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the black people bought the whole mall. They turned it to a black Wall Street, man.
Well, they didn't buy the mall. Stonecrest Mall is still there. What they got is there's the Target store, which was separate from the mall. It's in that same driveway, separate from the mall, is the Target store. Mm-hmm. A large area.
Yes, sir.
And they're making it with the black Wall Street themes of Tulsa, Oklahoma. There's, you know, Greenwood Street. Yeah. There's you know, other streets that are familiar, and so it's great. These are permanent stores that they built in. Mm-hmm. They're still working on it. Let me just say this, Brother Wes.
Yeah.
I really do wish that they would have had all of the money necessary to make the new Black Wall Street Market complete when they opened it, because there's still a lot of stores that are not there, empty, and it's just not a good vibe. You know, I got to go on a weekend when there's more people, because I've gone during the week and a lot of people, the stores, some of the stores are even closed because they just can't open because there's not customers there and so forth. You know, the grocery store that's supposed to be there, that didn't happen. A lot of things that are not there. And so I wish that we could have infused the brother, can't remember his name, who actually made it happen, Alan. Who actually made it happen with his efforts, you know, to raise the monies necessary to complete the project. So when it did open, everything was there. The nightclub that you're supposed to have, the area, Mama's, I can't remember Mama's Porch. It's a restaurant that's still not happening. So there's a lot of things that are still not happening there. In fact, I'll venture to say it's just half completed, you know, just half of it. See, I support it. You know, I do. You know, that's because it's ours, and we need to go there. And that need to be a place that we go to first before we go anywhere to find out what is, you know, if they have what you need or what you're looking for. Then if they don't, inquire about it. And if it's somewhere else, then hey, you go there. But at least you give us the opportunity. And you support black business, which is necessary.
Yes, sir. I like to see our black farmers, man, get one spot, man. Well, they can just—that's the main thing. Either right there, Stonecrest Mall.
Yes.
Or it's about two or three other malls that's up for sale now. The one or that North DeKalb Mall, and I hear where I live, Gwinnett County Mall, man.
Oh man,
we got because I look at them Asians, what they got over there with Jimmy Carter, man. We could do the whole, we could do and Buford Highway for the Mexicans.
Well,
we
look
could
at
do the same thing.
Hey, listen, all these groups have a shopping area. The Indians have one.
Yeah.
The Indians have one. In DeKalb. Kind of remember what's that off of, near the hospital, near the Decatur Hospital, and they have a strip mall. They have the other businesses around there.
Yes,
you know, they have everything right there. And I'm like, damn, everybody, because all those other groups, they didn't come here. They didn't come here talking about what's the, you know, how can I get involved with politics? No, they come here, find out what is the economic climate, where do I need to be at? And of course, a lot of these places have their businesses within our community.
Yeah. They have their business within
our
community.
One thing about them Africans, man, every time, every thing I look at, they start selling shit in the middle of, selling mm-hmm. stuff market in the middle of the street, man. That's what I love about them Africans. They start doing that too, man.
Yeah.
Okay, and, I mean, we can do it, because over out here where I live, too, you got the Chinese got their over there, Jimmy Carter, then further down in Duluth, them Koreans got a whole bunch of stores and stuff, man.
Right.
So we can do it, man.
Oh, no doubt we can do it, but the question is, do we have the will to do it? That's why I always emphasize that word will, you know, at the end of the program. Do we have the will to do it? You know, because we have the finances to do it. That's the deep part, that it ain't about the money, but do we have the will? Can we trust one another? Can we believe in one another? Can we work together? You know, can we pull resources?
Anybody going to save us but us? We ain't going to have no choice.
The Koreans got a whole bunch of choice.
Mm-hmm.
When they start keep putting their foot up our hand,
yeah,
and we see we, it's only us to do this, and that's why I like you doing with the youth. I'm gonna try to go to that Zoom thing, man.
Yeah, no, please, right. Man, on Friday, please go to the Zoom on Friday at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Once this program is over, that's where I'm going. Friday at 1 o'clock, the Science and Health Fair that they've been having for the Conscious Community Schools, the African Center Schools. It's their 14th year, and they're talking about this year, talking about obesity, and talking about another problems that have happened to our peoples. It's called Science for Survival, you know, and they're dealing with obesity and mental health and dental health, all kind of good stuff. And that's at 1 o'clock, from 1 to 4. And take this down.
Hopefully they're doing something with robots and all that. And
oh, they've done that. Oh yeah, they've done that before. Oh, they've had some tremendous presentations. The youth, and they make boards and all kinds of displays. Oh man, it's just beautiful.
Yeah,
the way
smart,
they have this.
They
oh man,
more,
very talented.
Directors a little bit.
Yeah, very talented. Well, these are the African Center Schools and the teachers so forth helped them out.
Okay,
instruct them a lot.
Some youth, man.
Yeah, but listen, if you got a pencil and paper right now, Brother West, you can take this information down. This is the Zoom meeting ID.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, you got it? Okay, well, cool. Yeah, all right then, brother.
I want to tell a quick story about our youth, man. Especially the ones 18, about 20-something.
Uh-huh.
They sharp, man. Okay, my ex, grandson, I was talking about, y'all need some money to go out here in the apartment complex and watch people's cars, man.
Okay.
You know what them cats told me? They said, old dude, they pulled out stacks. They said, old dude, we making money. Okay, they pulled out a stack. I went to the restaurant. They got a whole table set up with food. Guess how they were making their money? They was taking old cell phones and reselling them, man.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
About 12, 13 years old, man.
Okay. So they're rehabbing old cell phones? They got somebody?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, okay.
Somehow or another, they were selling them, man.
Okay.
I love these young ones from 12 to about 20-something, man. They sharp.
Okay.
That's why they going to redo the music industry, man. Because they getting their own label and doing their own stuff, man. We can just stop them from shooting each other, killing each other, taking each other out. We do it, man. And change these words up a little bit. But anyway, I don't want to hog up.
Okay, my brother.
Man.
Thanks a lot, Wes.
I'll let somebody else talk, man. I know you, man.
You too, dear brother. Peace to you. All right. 646-646. Good afternoon. Well, good morning still. Good morning.
Hey, what's happening, O?
What's going on, Jay? How are you?
I'm good, man. I figured you would be talking about the NFL or about your beautiful black queen, Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, yeah.
Sat down.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know what? I do want to say something about that. Thanks, Jay. Because, you know, and also to the NFL. And I love that brother. I love that brother in Miami. I really do. And he was dismissed because of what has happened in the past, why he was dismissed. And then, of course, I think he's being whiteballed out of the NFL. That's what's happening. And he has every right to sue. And I hope some other brothers jump on that suit, you know, because he's definitely being whiteballed. But getting back to Whoopi Goldberg, Whoopi said that these attacks on European Jews is not racial. It's man's inhumanity to man. And so then the European Jews jumped on her about, because she said that it's not racial. God damn it. I'm so tired of this shit. Race. There's no such thing as race. There is no Jewish race.
Judaism is a religion, a train of thought, okay? They ain't no damn race. They're Caucasians. They're European Jews who, the Ashkenazi Jews who converted to Judaism. They have no right to the land of Israel. They have no rights at all. They're late converts to Judaism, but they dominate and control Judaism, as you can see. And they can make your ass apologize like they did Michael Jackson, Spike Lee.
Bend over and spread them.
Yeah, bend over and spread them. I hope not. But, you know, see what I'm saying? They have, because they have the backing of the West. They have the back. They have the backing of the United States. They have the monetary backing of the United States. Israel gets more money than any country. Sometimes more money. Israel gets more money than Africa, the continent of Africa combined. Israel.
Oh, no question.
You know, so them saying, so she was right in saying what she said. I wouldn't have backed down last time. Hey, listen. There's no such thing as race. Europeans came up with the idea of race, giving themselves a top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. Race is not a real concept. It's not real biologically, but it's real as a concept socially, structurally. It's very real, and it has, and it continues to have deep ramifications. So, no, she was right. It's not racial. But they said, well, Hitler said, I want to try to exterminate the Jewish race. Well, Hitler, them damn Germans are some of the most racist mother, and they have supported and devised the concept of race. Johann Blumenbach, Carol Linnaeus, Austrians, Germans, they are the ones. So, no, there is no such thing as race, and she shouldn't have been suspended, you know, but I'm quite sure she'll take it. Because we don't know, you know.
Oh, because I think basically she could care less. If anything, probably with her to just give her time to work on other projects and to relax. Now, if they cut her off her other projects, then that may be a different battle.
Yeah. A different battle.
She's sitting up in her home eating potato chips and chilling and just watching these fools.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter in which one has to capitulate to the lie.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's never no real honest discussion. And it's like you always have to bow down to what the Jews say is the narrative.
Right.
I told him to kiss my behind.
Yeah, really. I mean,
been all about my business, but she ain't want to give up that $3 million a year.
Yeah,
I guess. And I mean, you know, the bottom line is, she ain't no revolutionary, and she don't do a damn thing for black folks anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The white folks control her and keep her black ass in check. And they just showed it to her again. Now, right quick to this Flores thing. Man, I feel for the brother. Because he's basically destroyed his career. The only thing you could hope for him now is that he gets an opportunity to coach at a HBCU.
Well, he'll have that. That's easy. That's easy.
He probably won't get an opportunity to coach in the NFL on any level ever again.
No,
he'll probably never get an opportunity to coach at a Division One college.
Well, HBCUs are Division One, but the bottom line is they're smaller, you know.
What?
And HBCUs, some of them are Division One colleges.
But what I'm saying is the mechanics and the mechanisms are a little bit different than what are, let's say, the level of Division One that he should be coaching
right,
on.
Right, I agree.
I mean,
I understand.
He's the type of individual that should coach out of Nebraska.
Right.
Miami.
Big Ten school, Pac-12 school, you know, SEC school. Right.
Echelon.
Right.
Of coaching.
Right.
But he'll never be given that opportunity.
No.
And I just hope he get paid. And yeah. Let me finish, please. The reality is, you know, everybody talks about Kaepernick and what happened to him. Yes, that's true. But remember, Kaepernick never followed through on his lawsuit. He settled. So a whole lot of things that could have came out in his lawsuit never came out.
Okay.
He took the money and went on about his business. Now, will this gentleman do the same? I don't know. That's a decision he'll have to make. But I would say this, if he took it all the way to trial, which the NFL is going to fight as hard as hell for that not to happen. I mean, the case scenario that the NFL looking for is arbitration.
Right.
Which, you know, he'll get paid, but the reality is, the truth is not going to be on total display.
Because, right. See, that way, Jay, they don't have – right, because they can't show the collusion. They can't show how he's been denied. They can't show a lot of those other things. So we'll just pay him off, and we'll continue as business as usual is what they've done. Even since the Rooney Rule has been in effect, which is 20-some years, and you can see that's been a fallacy. That hasn't worked because they give lip service to everything. The bottom line to the NFL is just like our captivity. You have Caucasian owners, and you have African workers. You know, I can't say it's slavery, but it's like slavery. It's like slavery in a sense that these Caucasians go to these combines to look at the best athletes, you know, bend over and open your ass. You know, how high can you jump? How fast can you run? You know, and then based upon.
It's definitely the same system. It's handled in the same manner
yes.
in which they sold Africans.
Yes, yes.
The only difference is, they pay you a great deal of money, but they also make a great deal of money
off of you. Yes.
Now, we don't put it into that context because, to be honest, most of us are too stupid to realize it or to accept it for what it really is,
yeah.
And we don't think that white folks are that sinister, that evil,
yeah.
that wicked, that no goddamn good to do that
yeah.
all these years later. But if you put it in its perspective, it's basically ran the same way.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's no doubt.
It's a plantation system.
Combined.
It's like a plantation system. But,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, I got some other stuff. I'm up on a break, Brother Jay. I'm on the other side. I'm going to come back and talk about our history, the importance of it, and of course, Carter G. Woodson, which is, you know, the reason why we have February as the month, and a lot of interesting things.
I'll be listening, brother.
All right. Hotep Jay. Thank you, brother. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take a break. When you come back from the break, we'll talk more about our history and how important it is to be instilled in our everyday lives. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Yeah. Alright, ayo. Yeah. tell me that you love me, maybe that will cancel out all the wrong ways you rub me. I can't understand why you wanna act ugly when I know that you miss me. Kiss me, baby, hug me. The thoughts of a human are so hard to bear when the uncivilized enterprise in despair. Video clips make us shake our derrieres while the big screen screams. Throw your guns in the air. Hollywood, Hollywood, we all want the glamour. Glitz, diamonds, and gold. Tricks, abracadabra. What's the matter, copper ladder? That really makes me wonder how we manage to move around in the world of anacondas. Gotta think like a chess player, Mr. Taxpayer. Seek the truth, we abuse you, suffer soothsayer. School fools on YouTube and chat room players. Cartoons and buffoons of all assorted flavors. You used to diss my mama when you called the ancient mama. Mustard seeds got a need, so you call me mountain climber. Quest feed the need of the Da Vinci co-finder. Proceed to lead as the original designer. Ayo, 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 ayo. Ebenezer, he's a squeezer. Don't bow down, the clown stuff your knees up. I don't hoe around to no G's. Peace to all my peeps who could keep up. Cause I'm leaping over them boundaries. Indigestion in the belly of the beast. New direction, heading straight for the east. You know, life is painstaking when they hide what's ancient. So who's that wrecking that microphone? Shot blessed, giving headrest to backbones. F-popper, if he was a rolling stone. Cause sisters know how to be up. Damn right we up. So what's your sexuality? Intellectual abnormality. It's your religion causing them casualties. So bow down to the flow up, to your god to woe up. Major slave ships, slayed your woman like a hoa. Wrote it in your books and we bought it in the stores. Hickory, dickory, slippery dots. Go to bed with the feds and they have crooked cops. Put the lead to the head if their agenda stops. So keep a bulletproof goose and a crew of hard rocks. Ayo,
ayo, ayo, ayo, ayo, ayo, ayo, ayo,
yo,
ayo.
He's wheezing and she's coughing. We all stuck in the land of the lost, man. They trying to stick us into them coffins. So proceed to lead with caution. Misdemeanor's getting meaner and his grass ain't greener. First or second class plane crash got Jesus. Y'all need gas from who? These the beamers. Watch them as they laugh and take us to the cleaners. Read between the lines if you want some definition. They fired the grid so we let the intuition. Better watch your kids when on the net they fishing. How you rocking rims and you ain't got a pot to piss in? Lord have mercy on these folks. They got a mind so blind and we all got jokes. We just one piece of bacon from that stroke. Divorce rate sky high cause we ain't evenly yoked. Yo. Signs number 9, numerology completion. Beeping through your mind like blinds that are Phoenician. Seek hard, you find what I find I'm keeping. Don't be alarmed, just keep your arms reaching. Ayo,
ayo, ayo, ayo, ayo, ayo.
Hey, take me back. Somebody take me back. Hey,
I wanna go back
to my ancient ways.
Hey,
take me back. Take me back. Take me back. Take me back to the ancient ways, man. Before we encounter them cavemen, dominating with the chains and the whips. Got me feeling like I'm in the tails of the crib. Now I'm walking like Egyptians. Got the nicest style when I slice it. Can't get back to Horus, Osiris, and Isis. Hey, hey, can't you see the light?
Say what's up?
Knowledge of oneself is priceless. So yo, bro, tell me how you living. Unlock the secrets behind racism, schisms, and all the mechanisms.
Can't break what's in my system, never.
Take me back.
Somebody take me back.
I wanna go back
to my
comes another.
Soldier boy.
Yeah. If they call him martial law, yo, president ain't walking out the door. He's obsessed with control and power. Secrets are written inside your dollar. Regenerate, hey, candidate debate. No patrol on your border so he can push weight. Better watch them government officials. Stay ready to strap with the pistol. You create another issue. Drop a missile. Who straps? Pick up your feet, don't drag. If the earth is your country, then wave your flag.
Take me, take me back. I wanna go back to my ancient ways. Come on, take me back. I wanna go back. Take me back to my ancient ways.
Want some dope? Want some reefer? Want some coke? What? Crack a sheeper? Cigarette smoke, but niggas legal. All designed to kill your own people. Sex offenders look through the people. Yeah. Civil rights, we still ain't equal.
Yeah.
Go to church, look who's hanging from the steeple. We are, yep, we are. Mardi Gras can't stop the drummer beat with heat. Genesis can't stop us marching in the streets. We go from hoodie your boys up to the elite. Baby, we ain't going nowhere. Too clever, so you better get your act together if you're gonna weather the storm. But on by queen mother nature, sick and tired of the way you communicate.
Come on,
listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Sister Shabless. Yay-o. And want to go back to my ancient ways. Sister Shabless, I got that piece from Queen Ifama, my good dear sister who made a transition about 5 years ago, right before we came on to Time for an Awakening Media. We were on Blog Talk Radio, and she's the one that got me on Blog Talk Radio. Missed that sister tremendously. She made a transition February 20th, I think it was. Yeah. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. From 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central, from 8 to 9 on Mondays with Dr. Mawil Kamban and Ataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey, from 9 to 10 on Mondays. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. On Fridays at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturdays at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again, it's Time for an Awakening at 7 p.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. This is February. You know, when I used to work with the kids back in Milwaukee, on my off days, you know, the firefighters, we work one day on, 2 days off. And so I'm not very mechanical. I don't do what you do. The only thing I do is run my mouth. So I had the opportunity to work in schools on my off day. And at one time on my off day during that week, if I was off either Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, I had sometimes 2, 3, 4 schools to go to from a morning to afternoon. And I really loved it. I loved working with the young people. I loved the teachers and the administrators that allowed me to come in to those schools. And got to give my good brother Isaac Hatton, who's a firefighter too, and I know I'll be seeing, hopefully he'll be down here. I know that a few people are coming down here because the service for my brother Willie Williams will be here. Hopefully I'll get a chance to see him. But his wife was a principal, and she was one of the first ones to pay me. She said, "You are consistent. You are here. You're relevant to children." So, you know, and she gave me a stipend, and it was cool. You know, I didn't ask for much. You know, she, very little, you know, because it wasn't about that. It was about hopefully putting something on the minds of these young people, letting you know who they are and what sense of possibilities that they have. One of the things, of course, is to start off with our history. And, of course, talking about Carter G. Woodson. Many of the students, this is, I know it's quite a while ago, but even today, you can go into a school today, particularly in a public school. Not, I mean, if you went into a private school or a centered school and they don't know who Carter G. Woodson is and they don't know all the, that's a damn shame. But there are public schools. There are public schools that don't, I mean, you can say, why is February Black History Month? I don't call it that. I call it African and American African History Month. Because number one, I don't begin our captivity and our history in our captivity. I begin our history where it should begin, at the beginning. You know? And then I deal with the history of us here in this country more objectively and more historically correct. And, you know, and that's what this thing on critical race theory. I don't know if you've seen in Facebook all of these things challenging critical race theory. It's getting to be ridiculous. It's getting to be, do you think that critical race theory is a problem in schools? You know, people don't even know what the hell they're talking about. The bottom line, let me tell you what's a problem in for these Caucasians. The truth. The truth. That's what the problem is. The truth. Just that little kind of Skeezer Rice talking about View, whatever, you know, I don't want to make little white children, you know, feel uncomfortable, feel kind of hurt that because they were slave masters. God, I hate that term, don't you? Man, they ain't a master of nothing. Carter G. Woodson, Carter Godwin Woodson, born December 19th, 1875, and he passed April 3rd, 1950. In Chicago, was an American African historian, author, journalist, and founder of the Association for the Study. Now, it was Negro life and history as they first started out, because we were Negroes, you know. We were called Negroes. And, of course, through the evolutionary process, that's why I don't call us Black. It's the evolutionary process. We're not Black. Black's a color. That's an adjective. We're Africans. We're Africans. That's why I use the term American African, because we're Africans wherever we are. Africa is a noun. A noun is a person, place, or thing. There's a word that goes in front of the noun, which is a suffix. That determines what kind of African you is. We are American Africans. If we were Brazil, we'd be Brazilian Africans. Colombian Africans, Jamaican Africans, Barbadoan Africans, British Africans, French Africans, Ghanaian Africans, Nigerian Africans. You get the picture? Exactly. We Africans. So this study, the Association for the Study of African Life and History. He was the first, one of the first scholars to study the history of the African diaspora, including American African history, the founder of the Journal of Negro History in 1916. Woodson has been called the father, as I say, African and American African History Month. In 1926, he launched a celebration of Negro History Week, the precursor to Black History Month. Negro history, 1926. Let me tell you what's deep. At that time, there were other historians. There were J.A. Rogers, Arthur Schomburg, other historians. And, you know, but Carter G. Woodson was out front. He was bold.
I've seen so many pictures. I just went through a collage of pictures of Carter G. Woodson prior to the program. And once again, there's not one picture of him that I've seen as a young man or as an older gentleman where he's smiling. You never see his teeth. There's a kind of a shy smile on one picture, older picture, but all of them, he's stern. And let me tell you why I think that. I used to say, well, maybe he just didn't want to smile because he had a wax smile. Maybe he had bad teeth or something like that. It just, no. No, this is the deal. He understood that when you do to a people what has been done to us, that shit ain't funny. There ain't nothing to smile about. There's nothing to smile about. When you have been stripped of your language, your traditions, your culture, your religion, all of those things, that's nothing to smile about. He was born into captivity. Oh, let me just add this here in terms of Negro History Week in 1926. As I said, there were other brothers and sisters. One sister particularly in 1926, she wrote a book called The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire. Drusilla Dungy Houston. Drusilla Dungy Houston. She has a quote that I think is deeply profound. Deeply profound. She said, "I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that Harvard and Yale, or even cowardly scholarship in our race, in our culture, can dare not refute." They can't refute it. It's bona fide. It's factual. That's why I'm saying this critical race is bull. These crackers just don't want to deal with the history of what they've done. So how can a leadership, then she says, how can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? How can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? And I maintain even to this day, she said that in 1926. It's coming up on 100 years since that has happened. And still today, we have leadership that is utterly ignorant of our historical record, of who we are as a people prior to our captivity. So how can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? Number one, a lot of our leadership is out of the politics, which of course is the belief that this political system is beneficial for us, which of course it is not. Then a lot of our leadership is out of the clergy, which of course is Christian and even Muslim. And of course, those aren't historical for us. They are not, you know. So the evading of history by scholars and researchers, historians, has had a detrimental effect on us as a people. Born in Virginia, the son of captives, Woodson had put off schooling because he had to work in the coal mines of West Virginia. He graduated from Barrow College and became a teacher and a school administrator. He gained a graduate degrees at the University of Chicago in 1912. And the second American African to get a doctorate degree from Harvard. The first was Du Bois, which remains the only person whose parents were in captivity in the U.S. to obtain a doctorate degree. He's the only person. Most of Woodson's academic career was spent at Howard University, historically American African College in D.C., where he eventually served as a dean of colleges and sciences. I'm not going to read all of this. I just want to go into some quotes because we didn't want to have that much time, okay? But I'm going to highlight Woodson and other historians as the month progresses. So hopefully you'll get a clear understanding, you know, of why this month is important. Why this month is important. And they don't give us, well, it's the shortest month of the year, and they get, no, they don't give you a damn thing. The reason why, when I've asked these students this, why February? Why February Carter G. Woodson? Why February? Because, and I don't use Lincoln. I never use Lincoln. Hell with Lincoln. I use Frederick Douglass. Carter G. used Carter G. Woodson used both of them men as a reason why February. Frederick Douglass did not know when his birthday was, but his mother always said to him, "You are my heart. You are my Valentine." So he chose February 14th to be his birthday. And because of that, Carter G. Woodson chose the middle of February to be Negro History Week, to evolve into American African, or African and American African History Month. And that's why. You know, Carter G. Woodson has some tremendous quotes. You know, one of them is, "When you control a man's thinking, you don't have to worry about his actions. The mere imparting of information is not education." And this is a good one here. This is my favorite. "If a race has no history, if it has no worthwhile tradition, it becomes a negligible factor in the thought of the world, and it stands in danger of being exterminated." I used to give them kids that quote all the time. I used to have a day book, and you know, didn't have the electronics where you can keep track of your stuff. I had to write in the day book what days I was going to be at a particular school and what time, and other things that I had to make sure I keep track of, you know. And I had a number of quotes. That quote was in there, of Carter G. Woodson, because it was deep. If a race has no history, if it has no worthwhile tradition, it becomes a negligible factor in the thought of the world, and it stands in danger of being exterminated. And that's our situation. Here's some quotes by Carter G. Woodson. You know, some quotes that I took a liking to. "It may be well to repeat that here, that saying that old men talk of what they have done, young men of what they're doing, and fools about what they expect to do. Our culture, our people, have a rather large share of the last mentioned class. We have a lot of fools." We sure do. "The mere imparting of information is not education." It is not, just because you got information. And, it, you know, just like I've always said that, in this society, and, you know, they say information is power. No. Power is the ability. Go check out Dr. Wade Nobles. I never forget when I first heard that definition. I don't know if I heard it live or if I heard it over recording. I'm not sure, but I've seen Dr. Wade Nobles a number of times, particularly at ASCAC meetings, you know, Dr. Wade Nobles. And he said that power is the ability to define reality. Power is the ability to define reality. That's what power is. It's not education and information. If the education information you receive is flawed and inaccurate, and it is, you can't get no power from that. We've been educated. We ain't got no power. Power's not money. We got some money. We got no power. Power's not voting. It's not politics. Power's not theology, religion. No. Power's none of that. What is power? The ability to define reality. Then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. Europeans define reality, and they went around the world to impose their reality, their culture, on others. Part of their culture was theology. Part of their culture was education. Part of their culture, they imposed it. Many times under the threat of death, if you did not willfully accept it. Power, the ability for them to define reality and then impose that reality on others. I don't want to impose our reality on nobody, but I do want us to define it, to shape it and fashion it in our image and interest. And by doing so is by infusing yourself with the knowledge of who you are. History shows that it doesn't matter who's in power or what revolutionary forces take over the government. Those who have not learned to do so and to do for themselves have to depend solely on others, never obtain any more rights or privileges in the end than they had at the beginning. If you do not do for yourself, yeah. American Africans themselves in certain parts join with European Americans to keep out of school teachers who may be bold enough to teach the truth as it is. They usually say that the races
here are getting along amicably now. And we do not want those peaceful relationships disturbed by teaching of new political thought. What they mean to say with respect to the peaceful relationships of races, then, is that American Africans have been terrorized to the extent that they are afraid to even discuss political matters publicly. That's what they're trying to do with this critical race theory. You know, it's deep when you see us arguing against, quote, critical race theory, and we still don't know what the hell it is. Man. Yeah. The lack of confidence of American Africans in themselves and in his abilities to do what has kept him down. His miseducation has been a perfect success in this respect. His miseducation causes him to have the lack of confidence, causes him to not to see the possibilities within himself. By design. It's by design. In the schools of business administration, Negroes are trained exclusively in the psychology and economics of Wall Street and are therefore made to despise the opportunities to run ice wagons, push banana carts, and sell peanuts among to their own people. Foreigners who have not studied economics but have studied Negroes take up this business and they grow rich. I'm not sure when he said this, but it comes out of the book, The Miseducation of the Negro, which came out in 1933. And you can see how pointed it is today. Look who's all up in our communities. The Arabs, the Koreans. Look who's all up in our communities. It has been historically the European Jews. Look who's all up in our community making money. I don't know. Check it out in your community. I live here in Atlanta, Georgia. Supposedly the Wakanda. Wakanda. Don't you should get that damn word out your damn mouth. This ain't no damn Wakanda. This ain't no damn a Mecca for us. This ain't. In fact, I got to do a program on that too, because it is that bad. I need to pull that up. I need to pull that program up, because the money, the disparity, the poor poverty of us in the city is ridiculous in the fact that all the things that I talked about. But look at what happens. We don't even have a service station with a convenience store. We don't have a supermarket. Man, stop it. Stop it. Right on, Carter G. Woodson. At this moment, the American African must begin to do the very thing which they have been taught that they cannot do. Ashe. At this moment, we must do the very thing at this moment that we've been taught what not to do. We must do it. And that is close ranks, pull our resources, and do for ourselves. Once you rely upon protest only when it is supported by a constructive program. Let me say that again. One should rely on protest only when it is supported by a constructive program. Sometimes you're just out there chanting, what do we want? Justice. When we want it now. You're out there just sloganing, chanting. And many times the situation, you got piecemeal. They threw your ass a crumb. And there was no constructive program, nothing to rely and to build upon. Man. After I finish reading these few, I'm opening up the lines. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about our history, the importance of our history. We're talking about a man who recognized how deeply important the history is to us and went about the business of presenting it to us. Dr. Carter G. Woodson, if you got something to say about Carter G. Woodson, please do so. Philosophers have long conceded, however, that every man has two educations, that which is given to him and the other which he gives himself. Of the two kinds, the latter is by far the more desirable.
Indeed, all that is most worthy in man, he must work out and conquer for himself. It is that which constitutes our real and best nourishment. We are merely taught seldom nourishes them. What we're taught merely seldom nourishes the mind like that which we teach ourselves. I'm self-taught, pretty much. Was not very good in school. In fact, couldn't read until I got out of school. You know, I'm self-taught. And many people, I forgot that word is a word for those who are self-taught, you know. And I'm not ashamed of it, nor am I bragging about it. The bottom line is that had I continued in school, you know, who knows? But I've been blessed. I have been very fortunate as a man to somehow link onto the fire department. There were other things that I tried to do that didn't happen, but I got onto the fire department, and the fire department basically opened the world up to me. I've been all around the world. I know firefighters in multiple countries, you know, and I've been many, many places. And hopefully I can get my health back together again so I can go to many more. In fact, my buddy Jim Winbush was getting on me last night. Hey, man, you can't be getting sick, man. We gotta go. We got some things we got to do, man. Some places we got to go. I said, I hear you, you know. As another has well said, to handicap a student by teaching him that his black face is a curse and that his struggle to change his condition is hopeless is the worst sort of lynching. And that's what these Caucasians have done. That's what they have done. That's what they have done historically. And European Jews were very instrumental in that. European Jews were controlling Hollywood and the imagery out of Hollywood with the bug eyes and big lips and so forth. The European Jews, very instrumental. It is very clear that if American Africans got their conception of religion from their captors and murderers, there may be something wrong about it. No, this religion that they've given to us, talking about it, is our salvation. It is humanity's salvation. Man, I tell you, brothers and sisters, I just hope and pray continuously and work hard to let brothers and sisters know that this is something that we must do for ourselves. This is our responsibility. Yes, they got us in it, but we have to get ourselves out of it. And only us. We cannot look for them. I don't give a damn how nice the individuals are. Let them go talk to Caucasians about it. Y'all do that, because I don't want to say a damn thing to Caucasians. I want to say what I have to say to my people. To hell with Caucasians, because the bottom line for what I'm talking about is independence. Independence means that, just like it meant for the Caucasians here who left Europe and came here and looking for a better way of life, that they could take land and remove human beings and enslave others. Jesus. You know, I ain't looking to do that. But what I am looking to do is to free ourselves and free our minds from European oppression and European dominance, European education, European religion, Europeans, period. Period. Independence. To be self-determining. to determine for myself what my names will be, what my culture is going to be, how we'll function and so forth. I'm not looking for anything outside of who we are and what we are to do these things. Liberation, to be liberated, means to totally be from what had captured you, what had imprisoned you, what had impacted your life, what made you think and behave and act the way that you did. To be liberated, you do none of those things anymore. You kick all of that to the curb. And of course, to be sovereign. Sovereign means that you do things totally outside of what anybody has or says is control. You do it outside of all of that. If you control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his actions. When you determine what a man shall think, you do not have to concern yourself about what he will do. If you make a man feel that he is inferior, you do not have to compel him to accept an inferiority status, for he will seek it himself. If you make a man think that he is justly an outcast, you do not have to order him to go to the back door. He will go without being told. And if there is no back door, his very nature will demand one. Probably the most powerful quote of Dr. Carter G. Woodson's. Because what he's saying is that when you control a man's thoughts, his thinking, and you render him an outcast, he'll be that. He'll be that. He'll behave in that manner. It becomes so profound in him that he demands it. Because you destroyed him. You destroyed him. You destroyed his confidence. You destroyed the knowledge that he had of himself. You made him believe that he is an outcast. You made him believe that he is unworthy. And so therefore, he demands these impediments. He demands these roadblocks. He demands yeah. Carter G. Woodson. You know, to me, if you were wanting to know and wanting to help your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, you should. You should take them to the library. Should take them to the, if you have a bookstore in your community. But you can take them to the library and get some books on our history. Just take a few hours. Take them to the library. Have them sit down quietly and look and listen. They got questions. Hopefully you can answer them. If you can't, write them down so you can do the research on them. What's vitally important is that we must teach ourselves. The education, Carter G. Woodson said, the education that you give yourself. There's one education that the state gives you. The state, wherever you are in this country, I can't speak to anywhere else, but I know in this country, there is free education. Then, of course, there's education you can pay for, parochial school, private school, Catholic school, and so forth. Then there's charter and choice schools. Then there's independent schools. There's African-centered schools. So there's all kinds of education that you can get. But what's most important is the education that you give yourself. It's the education that I gave myself. The education that wanted me to know more about us. The education that has shaped me. as a man to determine that I need to change my name from Eddie Brown to Oceania Delaboo. I need to change the way I look in terms of my dress and so forth. I need to change the way I move about within our people and show the love and respect I have for elders, for families, for children, and of course our ancestors. These things were very important for me. I have never and never will advocate a name change, because there are some beautiful names, names that have deep meanings. And there have been people who have been given names at birth or through ceremony. And because we're in this hellhole, this insanity, regardless of your name that you probably should have some respect for but don't have because you're immersed in this bull and you commit crime against your people. You steal, you rob, you rape, you murder. You may have a beautiful name, an Islamic name or, you know, African name, a made up name. Because you didn't want the usual Caucasian name. You didn't want Billy, Mary and Jane and whatever. So you Shaniqua. I don't give a damn. It's not what your name is. It's not the name. It's the behavior. It's not the name. I am doing what I'm doing as Oshi Adelabu, Brother Oshi or Baba Oshi, that I did as Eddie Brown. I just felt it was right for me because I advocate for self-determination. I'm not saying for you to go get your name changed or for you to go wear a Gaylay or a Grand Boobah. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying for you to go to Africa. Although all those things I wish you would, but I realize and recognize where we are. We're in the belly of the beast. We're in the military arm of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. We're in the military arm of it. It sustains Europe. It sustains Israel. It sustains Australia. It sustains Caucasians wherever they are, and their minions or like it or like-minded people, or even look at South America, look at the Caribbean, look at Central America. It sustains those. If they get out of line and they need to crush somebody, America's military might will come in and crush your ass. No, they have lost the moral high ground. This country is so damn corrupt. It doesn't have that. But what it does have is military might. And it will kill your ass. I've always said, if you listen to this program, I've always said, the European, the Caucasian, the white man, Urugu, has always found a better way to kill your ass. From the beginning of a stick, a rock, a branch, a spear, a sword, a knife, a Gatling gun, a catapult. I could go on and on to the advanced weaponry of this present day, of guns that can shoot 1,000 rounds in a minute. I could be by myself and unload and kill 10, 12, 14 people or more in an instant. There's nobody on this planet that is more murderous and evil and devious than Europeans. Than Europeans. And they late, they weigh in late for their chance. You know, they weighed in late, you know, when the Greeks came into Kemet, they first came in as students, then they came in as conquerors. You know, the 30 dynasties were now over. Now the Ptolemies come in. You know, the Ptolemies comes out of the
Alexander the Great and Cleopatra. Cleopatra the seventh, the most noted of the Cleopatras, you know, becomes rulers. The whole thing begins to fall. Islam comes on the scene and sweeps through Africa, takes Kemet. You know, the Greeks called it Egypt. So they called it Egypt at the time that the Arabs came through, Islam came through North Africa. Went all the way into the Iberian Peninsula in Spain and what is now Spain and Portugal, and was the only light in Europe while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. It was the only light. You know, that's interesting because, as some historians say, we taught them. We taught them twice. We taught them when they sat at our feet in Kemet, because what you see in Greece was the architecture and all the things comes out of Kemet. You know, when Mary Lefkowitz, European Jewish woman, American professor, tried to debate with Dr. John Henry Clark and Martin Brunel, who wrote Black Athena, they dusted her ass. Her book was not out of Africa, saying that no, Greece and, you know, that's all, they came evolved amongst themselves. There's no influence. They dusted her. Martin Brunel's book was Black Athena. That means that Greece, Athena, Athens, comes out of Africa. You know, Arthur Schlesinger, Baba Jacob Carruthers dusted his ass. They dusted, just like today. That's why there's not going to be a debate. They just want you to enact these laws against so-called critical race theory, so-called, and basically saying that you can't teach something that speaks the truth, that may divide. This country is so goddamn, excuse me, I'm so sorry. Man, this country is so divided, always has been. It always has a stratification by intent. By intent. That's what capitalism does. In order for capitalism to be what it is, for those who are now billionaires, over 1,000 billionaires in the world. Now, of course, there's over 350, I think, 360 million people. So 1,000, that's minute. Because, yeah, it's about money and a number of millionaires, and, you know, that this money, in order for me to have all this money, a whole bunch of people can't have a damn thing. And I don't feel for nobody. I just feel blessed amongst myself that I'm rich. I got mine. And if you didn't get yours, you know whose problem it is? Yeah, it's yours. It's your problem. That's the mindset of a European. Selfish and greedy and don't want to share. See, even though we taught them in Kemet and we taught them in the western part of what is called Europe, still they've always had, because of their evolutionary development, their upbringing, an idea of selfishness, of greediness, of taking. Because of the environment that they evolved in. Harsh, cold, and different. So if it means I gotta get yours so I can have mine, so be it. I'm getting yours. Brothers and sisters, about to come to a close, but like I said, I'll be talking all this month about the importance of this month, just like I talked about the importance of African Liberation Day, May 25th. There's some days that we should make important. Kwanzaa, we should make that important beyond anything else. Not so much Juneteenth Day, but okay, I'll throw Juneteenth Day. day in there. I always had a problem with Juneteenth. Getting 2.5 more years of labor out of us for nothing. Always bothered me. But anything about how and why and how we should celebrate ourselves, we need to do that. And we need to do that exclusively. Exclusively. I don't give a damn. If Caucasians want to join us in a celebration, so be it. But it's something that it is for us and that we control. And nobody's going to tell us how it should be done. That we do it. It's the same as this month. We learned this month about who we are, about what we have done, and about who has prevented us from being all that we are. I don't give a damn what you might call it. I just call it the history of us as a people, critical race theory or whatever. This is our history. And I can give less than a rat's ass about who it offends, because we have been offended. Deeply offended. So we're going to get wrap up. I could have said more about Carter G. Woodson, some more quotes. But like I said, we'll continue to talk about Carter G. Woodson, because he is an extraordinary man about what he has done, you know. And in fact, he had criticism. He understood the importance of history. He understood that Christianity was not history. The stories in the Bible are not historic. They're not historic. And he understood that the implications of immersing yourself in a book that is based upon fairy tales and myth, allegory, is not good for us who have been robbed of knowledge of self. You have stories that talked about you being black was being evil. And now you feel ashamed. So I'm telling you, dear brothers and sisters, this, you know, February really is a mental liberation month. That's what you should call it. Mental liberation month. And of course, I try my best to give you the information straight, no chaser. Straight, no chaser. So I hope that you, if there are programs, if there are things that you can do or go to, or if you have the ability to do a program yourself, to just introduce some young people to our history and tell them how vitally important it is for them to study and to research and to talk about great men and women prior to our captivity. See, one of the problems we have is we begin our history in our captivity as if prior to that we'd done nothing. That we were running around a jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created a civilization of any kind of any note. And of course, that's what Europeans have said. That's why to them, it was justified to enslave us. It was justified. In fact, many Caucasians said it was good for us because it exposed us to Western ideas and so forth. Our captivity under European dominance was good for us. Our colonization under European dominance is good for us. The imposing of Christianity on us was good for us. Brothers and sisters, it's my time to go. But you see where we're going with this, and I hope you stay with this. I hope you can bring some attention to these subjects. Give me a call if you want, if there's something you want to be talked about specifically at 414-324-5796. That's 414-324-5796.
5796. Let's have a conversation. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Isante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. If we have the will to do it, we will be victorious. Sante Sana. Peace, family.